The scripture reading before this morning's message is Psalm 107, verses 1 through 9. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could dwell or they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wondrous deeds for mankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things.
There is a song that pulls at my heartstrings when I hear it, and it's called I'm Redeemed. And I wanted to read some of the lyrics for you. It said, seems like all I could see was the struggle, haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failures, wondering how long is this gonna last. Then you look at this prisoner and said to me, son, stop fighting. A fight, it's already been won. I'm redeemed. You know, many of us have chosen to go with this alone when we don't have to. If there was a news flash or an alert that would flash at the bottom of the screen, I want to tell you that it has already been won. Jesus has the victory, and we have been redeemed because of that. If Christians simply would just believe this, if they could really just grasp this concept that the battle is already won, that we have been redeemed because of that, our life would be different. Our outlook, if we could just look through the lenses of Christ and understand it, I think that our lives would be a lot different, quite different, as a matter of fact. We would work diligently every day to do something very important, and that's to bring the lost souls to Christ. Christ wouldn't let the world, like we do, to decide. Christ wouldn't let, like we do, the world to define. Christ wouldn't do like we do and allow depression to set in. Christ wouldn't do what we do and allow the things of this world to defeat us. I tell you that many in this world will not make it to heaven because instead of believing God for the victory, we choose to believe the lie of defeat. We belong to God, saints. Do you believe it? I'll ask you again, do you believe that? Just for a brief moment, since you say that you believe that, I want you to stand up for a minute. And I want you to turn your song selection books to 362. And I want us to sing this song with power, with belief in our hearts and in our minds. Amen? I sing today, I am redeemed, I am redeemed from all the sorrow that's alive. I have been redeemed. I'm redeemed, my love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, Christ is mine. All to him I now assign. I have been redeemed. Joy, the Lord I go. I'm redeemed. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, Christ is mine. I have been redeemed. Precious indeed, thy Savior to me. I am redeemed. Happy in glory, someday I shall be. I am redeemed. My love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. I now resign. I have been redeemed.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Since we profess to believe that we are redeemed, we ought to walk with our heads held a little bit higher. We ought to walk and understands that we need to stand a little bit taller. Our praise ought to be a lot stronger. Our faith ought to be relying on God and God alone. See, if we say we believe it, but we don't trust our risen Savior, and that's shown in our actions, then maybe, just maybe, this is why you have not been able to move forward in Christ. Now listen, we all have a past. And I am the first one to be transparent and honest about that past. We have things in our lives, I know for a fact, that we would rather forget. So many people think that they have done the things that God cannot forgive. And I am a living testimony that God can turn it around. He can make a way out of no way. And I'm here to tell you that God can forgive it all. God can do it all. And the reason we should have the comfort and faith is because his son paid for it all. Now let's talk about being a prisoner and a slave. In John chapter 8, looking at verses 34, it says, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." When we become a prisoner, we lose all rights. That's A-L-L, not some, but we lose all rights. And someone else is now in control. At that point, we become a slave and someone else is the master. This is what happens, saints, when we submit and we succumb to sin. Sin becomes the master and we become the prisoner or slave. And it has happened to us all. There's not one person in this room that can't say that they've been through something, that they have dealt with sin, they've battled with sin. We all have sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have missed the mark. Some of us are still struggling this morning with the mark. Some of us are struggling right now or going through it with the mark. Some of us have overcome the mark, but at the end of the day, we've all been in sin. We've all dealt with it. And don't think that your sin is new or special. Don't think that your situation of circumstance is any different than someone else. I know that when you're going through it, it feels like I'm the only one who's going through this. I'm the only one who understands. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, looking at verse 13, the Bible says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man." Your situation is not new. But I want you to understand something else that's not new. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, beyond your control. But with the temptation, he will also will provide an escape for you, that you may be able to endure it. You know, a lot of people don't think that they can do this. There's not one single man or woman in this room that has not been tempted. Not one. Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, is a list of men and women who were good, but they struggled with sin. They struggled. Case in point, Noah dealt with drunkenness. Abraham with lying and adultery. Moses with murder. David committed adultery and was a murderer and a liar. Rahab was a prostitute. And while they may all have struggled with sin, they kept the faith. And sometimes we fail to see the gift because we want to focus on the burden. The burden is too hard for me, so therefore I lose faith. We want to focus on past sins instead of looking ahead. We want to look at the world as our home instead of making preparation for our heavenly home. I think about those preparations that we make. We make a lot of preparations to go places and we're so excited to, but we don't make the proper preparations for heaven. And sometimes we fail to see the gift because we look to man for the reassurance. We look to man to help us out of the situation. We look for man to give us the comfort that we truly need. We look for man to give us the answers that we're looking for, and we don't look to God. But we ought to be looking to Jesus, but he has given us the victory. See, when we have the mindset of a slave, I want you to know that you can't visualize freedom in Christ. How can you visualize freedom when you're a slave to sin? You're not a slave to righteousness. You're kept captive as a prisoner to slave. I mean, as a prisoner and a slave to sin. We can no longer live that way because the freedom we have is in Christ Jesus. In Christ, we are freed men and women. And sin can't keep us captive anymore. In Genesis chapter 1, looking at verses 26 and 27, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." What's important about that we first must understand that we bear the image of God. I don't know if we truly understand this, that you bear the image of God. I have the ability to obtain the characteristics of Christ. You mean that that is possible? Yes, he created you in the likeness of him. He wants us all to know that we are born leaders in all capacity. Whatever that is, whatever your wheelhouse is, you have the ability to be a leader in that. If that's in education, if that's in the law field, if that's in the Bible class, if that's standing in the pulpit preaching, if that's being a deacon, that's being an elder, that's being a faithful member, there are leaders among us in this room. Why? Because we were made in the image of God. That is, if we have in us the ability to achieve full righteousness, and we do. Now, can we stop just for a moment and just say it's true? Some of us have been walking this walk for a long time. They've been standing for Christ for a long time. Some of us have gotten it right. Some of us are still struggling. Some of us are in and out, and we deal with stuff from time to time. I just want you to know that I understand that the struggle is real. But whichever category you fall in, whether it's coming upon you, whether you're in it right now, whether you feel Collins and you feel it in the air tonight, I understand what you're going through. God blesses us, and we need to keep striving to trust and put our faith in God. So when we come to worship, I think we think that all we're supposed to do is hear the message and examine ourselves, and it stays with us. But no, I think that we come to hear the message, examine ourselves, implement it in the areas in which we need to, and then go out and seek to save the lost and tell your story about how you've been redeemed. Do me a favor, turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 15. I want to look at verses 12 through 15. I believe we get the word of God and we keep it to ourselves, but that's not what we're supposed to do. It's so that we can take the word of God to the lost and to a dying world. I know that we are commanded to come, but we're also commanded to go. And Deuteronomy 15, the infallible word of God reads, beginning with verse 12, if your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you, he shall serve you 6 years. And in the seventh year, you shall let him go free from you. And when you let him go free from you, you shall not let him go empty handed. You shall furnish him liberally out of your flock, out of your threshing floor, and out of your winepress. As the Lord your God has blessed you, you shall give to him. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this today. I believe that when we look at it on the outskirts, most people say, you know, when I become a Christian, I'm losing something. I become a Christian, I can't have fun anymore. I become a Christian, I can't do the things that are cool, and I have to live like this, and I have to be robotic like that, and my life is over. But let me tell you something. When you're set free from Christ, you don't walk away empty-handed. So many people have this perception that I'm giving up and I'm losing everything. Do you understand that when you give your life to Christ, the reward that awaits you is eternal life? You don't walk away empty-handed. You tell me what's better than that. Men can't even describe what heaven is. They can't even put into words how beautiful it is, how much of a blessing it is, how much it's worthy of you giving your life for it. Many people think that they're going to gain something. You're willing to go all out of your way to go see some people's heads on a mountain. You save your funds and your money for that. You do all you can for that. You go see a waterfall that's so beautiful and so great. You'll take the whole family, travel all over the world to see a mountain with a hole in it. But when it comes to you giving your life to Christ and knowing for the simple fact that you won't walk away empty-handed, it baffles me. You have an opportunity to give your life to the great Redeemer. And in it, in return, you will receive a heavenly home. Redemption implies emancipation from the guilt that you are holding on to right now. The punishment that you're putting yourself through that you ought to deserve. It releases you from the power of sin. And there are two things associated with redemption, and that's freedom and cost. No, you're no longer free to do whatever you want to do. Now you are a slave to righteousness, and it will cost you everything. It'll cost you friendships. It'll cost you friends. It'll cost you time. It will cost, but it's worth the cost. We put everything and all our time into things, but we won't put everything and all our time into God, who is the great Redeemer. So what does it mean to be redeemed? It means a releasing affected by a payment of ransom. It also means that it is a deliverance as a result of payment of a ransom. You ever gone to a pawn shop? Anybody? Okay, well, I have because I was in college. So I don't know about you, but college was rough. It was. I was selling everything I could. Hey, if I had a paintball gun, I'm trying to pawn it. I'm trying to get rid of it, whatever I had to do. Well, let me just say that it was hard. But we can look at redemption in the secular sense, like a pawn shop transaction, right? Where goods are held by pawnbrokers and they are redeemed or bought back by the owner, right? For a price greater than the amount originally advanced to the pawn. If you go in and you sell them something, they're going to give you little to nothing for it. And then when you want to buy it back, they charge you more for it. But that's how it works. So for a price greater than the amount originally advanced by the pawnbroker, these guys are making a handsome buck on stuff. But also in a secular use, a ransom is a price demanded what by a kidnapper. You remember Mel Gibson, give me back my son. It was a more powerful movie because they took his son and he was asking for money in order for him to be released. So how much more should the cost be in a spiritual realm when one exists forever? How much should it cost? You think about the price that we put on things. How much should it cost? This is why the price of our redemption could not be based on tangible things. Why? Because all tangible things are temporary. God has redeemed you and opened up a doorway for the everlasting, something that will never fade, will never rust. No one can ever steal. And you know why? Because our redemption is through the blood of Christ. Redemption through the blood of Christ is a wonderful thing. I thank God for the redemption through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. By his death on that cross, Jesus paid a price to deliver us from bondage, the bondage of sin, for which he deserves the highest praise. The highest praise. He purchased and paid for something that we didn't deserve to redeem us with the blood of Jesus. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to look at verses 18 and 19. It says, knowing that you were ransomed for the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. You know, at Calvary's cross, we see exposed the absolute nature of our human bondage, and the full, not partial ransom is paid, not part of it. He paid for it all. Everything that we deserved, he paid for it all. You know that feeling you get that when you go out with somebody and everybody's eating good and ordering all kinds of stuff and the check comes and it's a pretty large amount and everybody looking around trying to figure out how we're going to break this down and pay for this. And then somebody says, don't worry about it. I got it. I'll take care of everybody. It's a good feeling, right? Especially if you was that person that was there and know you didn't have no money. But you know what? We know that we are the people who don't deserve it, and we don't have the money. We could not pay for it. And he made sure that your meal, your spiritual meal, your opportunity to get to heaven was paid for. He gave you that opportunity. Now you must choose. At Calvary, we can see God as a redeemer in the ultimate and the absolute sense. When he was at the cross, every individual is confronted with this ultimate choice. Right there at the cross, it's redemption or bondage. It's freedom or slavery. It's life or death. We all have a choice, right? See, when we choose bondage, slavery and death is to follow. We see the misery, we see the pain, we see the separation in that relationship. Because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 22, his own iniquity shall take the wicked, and he shall be holden with the cords of sin. And Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, know ye not that to whom you present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, I know we hear sermons like these all the time, and my point is not to just drive it home, but I do think that we ought to be reminded of the dangers that come with not remembering that we serve the great Redeemer. Sometimes we lose touch of that powerful meaning. I think sometimes we feel entitled. I feel like sometimes we think that there's nothing more that we must do. But we need to remember this. Christ's death was no ordinary death. It was not an ordinary death, nor was he an ordinary victim. And maybe we look at it as in those terms, that it was an ordinary death, he was an ordinary victim, but Christ's death was immeasurable. Not one of us could meet that expectation. His death was so significant that it redeemed us. It was so real that it redeemed us. And it was only this death. Many men have died before, but it was this death that paid the ultimate price that we could not pay. Only this ransom was sufficient enough to set us free from the strongholds of sin. There is no other way, and there is no other Redeemer. And we ought to find comfort in that, and knowing that the God that we serve is a great Redeemer. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. That is awful, but I'll read it for you. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. The last verse of that song, that I'm redeemed, it reminded me when I read this verse. It says, all my life I've been called unworthy, named by the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head, I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I'm redeemed. Listen, God has a plan for all of our lives. He has redeemed us, and he paid that debt that we can never repay. Do you understand that you have been set free? That you don't have to be a slave to sin? You don't have to succumb to the expectations of the world and the demands of the world, but you do have to succumb to the commandments of God and his expectations for you as a Christian and a follower of Christ. And I believe that that's worth it all. I believe that's worth all your time, all of your dedication, all of your mental stress, and all the things that we put on ourselves. I think we ought to put all of that into serving God. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. What is the so? It's God's people giving testimony of his goodness and his mercy. We should stop walking around as children of God, acting like we don't have a Redeemer who lives. Isn't that amazing that we walk around like we don't have a Redeemer who lives and who has made us a promise that no one else can do or deliver? You serve a great Redeemer. The fact that God sent his Son to redeem us indicates the depth and the power of his love for you and for me. It also indicates the depth of the bondage in which we stood too. That he had to do it that way. You know, once we were helpless slaves, now we are God's adopted children with the right to call him Father. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing and a wonderful blessing. We all, saints, should respond to the power of truth with confidence. We ought to respond to it with joy. We ought to respond to it with reverence and praise. I want to leave you with this in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. The word of God says, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Now, many people may go out and make a purchase and ultimately have buyer's remorse. I've been there. I went somewhere and said, hey, I want it now, I'm gonna buy it. And then you get home and you look at it and you say, why did I spend my money on this? That was a dumb decision. I didn't need that. But what Christ has done for us is a permanent purchase. He made it at a cost that could not be repaid, and he was able to pay that debt. It was a gift you will never ever regret receiving. Listen, saints, we are redeemed, and none of us deserve it, but all of us can thank God for it. This is the part where I'll say to you, I want to extend the invitation. I want to tell you the importance of what it means to be in Christ. And if you have it in your heart, if you're pricked at the heart based on the things that you may have learned in class, things that you've learned over time, maybe you've been studying with somebody, maybe I said something this morning, my question to you is, why wait? Why wait? You've heard the gospel message being preached. You know that there are some things that you need to get right. And if you're not in Christ, it needs to be done today and not tomorrow. I was reminded of how soon and how easy it is for us to be out of here. I just buried my uncle, and it was hard. Put a lot of stock and a lot of time into his soul, because that's what mattered to me most. And I didn't think that I'd get a phone call that he's no longer with us. It is true. It's better to go to the house of mourning, because you're reminded so quickly that that could be you. A lot of us sit in the pews because we don't want people to know our circumstances or situation, but God knows, and you know. So I'm going to share something with you. I didn't have a joke, so I thought I'd share something with you. And you may have heard this before, but it was so powerful enough I wanted to share it with you. There was an island full of emotions. And on that island, the emotions were subsequently looking at a flood coming. And that flood was going to kill every emotion on that island. And so love decided to build a boat. And so love said to all the emotions, get on the boat so I can save you and you don't drown. And all the emotions were on the boat. And then they were getting ready to pull off. And as the island began to flood more, they looked back and guess what they saw? They saw the emotion called ego. And ego was still on the island. And so love can only be what love is and do what love does. So love gets out of the boat and every emotion says, don't get out of the boat. It's not worth saving ego. But love can only do one thing, and that's love. So he goes to save ego. But ego didn't budge, and neither did love. I said that to say, because of ego, love died that day. The point I'm making is, don't let your ego keep you from the love that God so freely gives you. I'll be the first one. Because if you're not bold enough, if you don't love God enough, I'll be the first one. Brothers and sisters, I have sinned. And I'm repenting of that sin. I pray that I'll be a stronger Christian, that I can be the man of God that I need to be. And I pray that you continue to pray for me. This has been a hard 2 months. Emotionally, you will do some things, say some things that you'll regret. And you don't know that you will have an opportunity to do that again. So I'm saying to you, as a man who stands in the pulpit, I'm only a man. And you're only a woman and a man, and there's nothing that you have to be proud of. Let the egos go. If your relationship is not right with God, then get it right with God. It's simple. Let the ego go and submit to God. And if you haven't obeyed the gospel, this is your time. That is my gospel message that I'm trying to bring to you all. I pray that you think on these things as together we stand and sing.